Welcome to Razzle Dazzle Radio, giving new meaning to the show must go on. So, I have a theme for you today. It's thanks for the memories. And I also have a tiny little riddle. Carolyn, see if you can guess this, all right? What do Larry Friedman, Ray Hatch, Carol Tilford, and Kevin McDonough all have in common? One word only, Carolyn. Want to guess?
Super talent.
Nope. Toby's. One word. Toby's. This is where it began. And we are going to take a trip down memory lane today. And I'm getting chills down my spine just thinking of these days and wanting them back again. And to start the whole journey, Carolyn, why don't you bring in Kevin?
Well, you won't be able to see this because this is only a recording, but I have tears in my eyes because these guests are so special in my life and in our lives. And it really all began, I think, for them with the Young Columbians. And they should have been on the stage June 14th at Merriweather Post to celebrate 45 years of performances. I love you guys, all of you, and I am thrilled that you're here today. And I'd like you to give a shout out for my son, Matt Kellerman's 50th birthday on Mother's Day.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Wow, okay. 50. How the hell did that happen?
I know, right? Yeah. I'm turning it over to Kevin because not only is he a dear friend, but he's clear, thoughtful, talented, sings like God, as I wrote. And he's going to talk about memories past and present.
Hi, thank you, Carolyn. And it's totally great to be here. And I'm just going to roll right into this. You know, the four of us that are here that are sort of bound by Toby, if you will, this thing happened, our lives became entwined around 1973. And we all found our separate ways to the Columbia School of Theatrical Arts, AKA Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts. And for me, I had just discovered theater in high school back in those times and was doing a summer program with a bunch of folks. And there was a lot of talk. We were doing Music Man, I believe. And there was a lot of talk about this Toby coming to see the show. And I was like, you know, what is this Toby? And, you know, I thought that would be cool. And she came and she saw the show. And it was really nice to meet her. And, you know, I ultimately got an invitation to come and check out the school. And I did, and it was great. But for me, the cost was unapproachable, and I was the oldest of five kids, and things were tight. And luckily, Toby and I came up with an arrangement where I did a lot of work behind the scenes, including cleaning the bathrooms. And this just became the beginning of discovering the many facets of operations behind the school and its productions. And that's sort of how I got involved and entrenched into the Columbia School, which is the beginning of the story. And so I thought that it would be fun to hear that kind of story from Carol and Larry and Ray. So Carol, you want to take over?
Thank you. Well, again, thanks everybody. To get this invite was fantastic. Kevin, it was not Music Man, it was Guys and Dolls.
Oh, okay.
PG Summer Teen Theater. Kevin was it. Guy Masterson. Marla Davis was Adelaide.
Yes.
And this one night, she was all a Twitter, no pun intended, to social media, that Toby was coming. And again, it's like I never knew a woman who was named Toby and right. one that would have created such hubbub, right? So she came and saw the show, and I had just graduated high school. It was 1973, and I just was intrigued. So I got up all my nerve, and I called her. And I was like, you don't know me, but I mean, it was Carol Stack. And, you know? And Toby, whether she's just met you or whether she's known you for almost 50 years, she treats you exactly the same. So it was like she had known me all her life. Then I felt like I had known her all my life, and she said, come. So for something this huge to have started with something so small, when I went to the school for the first time, it was just this little rectangular building with a flat roof. You go into this small vestibule with that little office where Harry was and a little dressing room. And then it was just this big room that was partitioned off And the first half was the dance studio, and the second half had that little raised stage where we did our theater games and our classes, and there were props on one side and costume pieces on the other side. And there were these really big posts where it really hurt if you slammed your head into them.
Thank you for that, Carol. Thank you so much for that.
Take us on back, girl. Take us back.
But, you know, it was just this little small thing. And the first night, the first time I went, Toby had pigtails. She was in her 30s. I mean, she was so much younger than we all are now. Absolutely. Then. And it was just the start of something huge that even then I knew it was going to be huge. And it was, and it has been. And here we all are almost 50 years later. And we need each other so much to remember all the joy, but we needed each other to be able to endure things, because over all this time, we've all had to endure hard stuff. And the fact that we've had each other through that as well as all the great times has been such a gift. And I will hand it back over to Kevin.
Actually, that's awesome. Larry, you're next. Give us your perspective.
Well, mine is a little different than your guys, because I met Toby before there was ever such a thing as the Columbia School for Theatrical Arts.
Right.
And but the precursor to that was she had a drama school that was housed in Burnbrae Dinner Theater. But I actually go back before that to when I met Toby. She was teaching at a private school in Tacoma Park. It was the Cynthia Warner School. And I don't know how long she had been there, but I was 7 years old. And I met Toby based off of riding bikes in my neighborhood. She lived one street over from my family, and her son Jeffrey and my brother Bruce became friendly riding bikes. And as will happen in the neighborhood, all the kids join in, and that's how I got to know them. And little by little, she found out that I sang a little bit, and I was kind of singer at that time. I sang Where Is Love and Mame, My Best Girl, and things that were very sweet, sentimental, and quiet. And working with Toby through Cynthia Warner, she helped me get a little bit of confidence and develop my strength to come along a little bit. But anyway, back to where it began at Cynthia Warner School. And I had the great privilege to go to Burnbrae from that point with her, and then to CSTA, and now to the center. And as life does continue to evolve, I am still with the center. At this point, I am the co-artistic director of this wonderful group, the Young Columbians. And I work with young performers who I was one of at one time. So it's kind of cool that things come full circle.
Awesome. Hey, Ray, how about you? But,
all right. Well, my story is I was in high school, and being the youngest child of the youngest daughter, I was alone a lot, but it didn't matter. So I liked creative things, coloring and drawing and stuff. So I wanted to be a graphic designer. And when I was in high school, I designed and drew and illustrated the programs for the annual musicals and senior plays and whatnot. And I couldn't take drama until I was in my junior year. And so that the 11th grade, I went into drama class, and I ran into this wonderful young lady that was a year older than me. And her name was Debbie Leopold. And she was the darling of Montgomery Blair High School in the theater department. And I was just completely in love with her. I think I just wanted to be her. And one day, Monday, I came home from school, and I got this, "You don't know me," got one of these "You don't know me but" calls, Carol, you know, and it was Bonnie Notes. And she said, "You don't know me, but my name is Bonnie Notes. I am the resident choreographer for the Columbia School of Theatrical Arts. And you were recommended to us by someone who is in your drama class by the name of Debbie Leopold." And then I fell out. So then 3 days later, after I came out of my, you know, falling out, I was like, and she was still there. You know, she was like, well, we've been cast in a production of the Me Nobody Knows for a couple of weeks, and we need a tenor, and we hear you can sing. And I said, well, yeah, I can sing a little bit. And she said, well, would you be willing to come up and audition for us? And I said, sure. She said, well, how about this Saturday? I said, great. So Saturday comes, I jump in my Pontiac, I whip up the road. Now, I had heard of the Columbia School of Theatrical Arts, but I didn't really know what it was. And Toby, I did not meet her until I walked through the door. So I got out my car, And out in the parking lot, I heard, it was Stevie Wonder, Higher Ground, blasted out of this little building that Carol just described. And I opened the door, and all of these young people were in a circle, dancing and clapping. And there was this chick in the middle with all this long dark hair almost down to the backs of her knees, and she was high stepping like a Clydesdale and slinging her hair all around. She broke out of the circle. She didn't miss a beat. She broke out of the circle. She stopped you, and it had no window. So once you open the door to the outside, the whole place would illuminate in the daytime. And Bonnie danced over to me. She grabbed my hand, danced me back to the circle, slung me into the circle, and that's how that was my audition. And so then after that, Toby comes to me and she goes, can you move? Can you get down? And I was like, well, I think I just did, you know.
You want more?
Exactly. Oh, so for me, it was the Me Nobody Knows that really kind of got it all kicked off. And the Young Columbians was like the cherry on top of the whipped cream on the ice cream sundae, because already I had walked into a place. I had no idea that this was what I even wanted to do. You know, I grew up with variety shows, and there was one little black man on Carol Burnett's show, and I always thought that could be me, you know? But I really never thought that you could really do that for real, you know? And so almost 50 years later, I still do that, and I still work with young people, and I still act and dance and sing and do all that stuff on a semi-regular basis. I think that's all for me.
Great, great story. So, you know, we all ended up together at 73-ish, not ish, at 73. The four of us came together. And, you know, we were all doing our separate things kind of thing. And then there was this project that Toby was working on with folks at the Rouse Company, because the Rouse Company was big for her and helped her get started there. And there was some Flag Day celebration, and they were going to do some sort of, it was an Irish thing, and, she auditioned a whole bunch of us, and we auditioned for something we had no idea what we were auditioning for.
Right.
And she somehow, and I don't know the answer to this, I don't know how the America show actually got set off, but
I actually know this, because what happened was they contacted Toby because they knew of her school and they wanted to get some young performers there to do some art, and the theme was poetry. They said, can you guys learn some poetry, recite some poetry? And she said, poetry? That's not American.
Right.
You know, music theater is our contribution to the arts, you know?
Right.
So yeah. She was like, this is what it should be. We should sing, we should dance, we should tell a story. And she got together with Trish, and that's how the America show was born.
Okay. That's awesome. And of course, now that you say that, of course, I remember it. But, you know, we had that audition and you know, I was excited because they were talking about like getting on the Meriwether Post Pavilion stage, which is, you know, huge. And it was like a big deal, you know? And, you know, that the Young Columbians experience blossomed incredibly. We never knew how much. And through that, you know, it created the foundation of some of our strongest lifetime friendships. And also, just in the process of doing Young Columbians, it created and developed a huge, strong work ethic that I think follows us to this day. Ray, I'm sure you would agree with that.
Absolutely. When I work with young people today, I still use the warm-ups that I learned from Bonnie. You know, so all the skills that we learned when we were teenagers, they're tried and true, you know, it's good stuff.
Well, there's no question. I mean, everything that I teach is what I have learned. And I tell people all the time, you know, there's no difference between you and myself, except I'm older, you're younger,
I've done this,
you're figuring it out, but we do the same things, the same skills work. So if it's not broken, don't try to reinvent something. Don't try to fix it. Use what works. It's very reliable.
You know, we were all part of something that was so special and didn't even know it completely at the time, because we were all together at the beginning of this great city, Columbia, which we still weren't even sure what it was yet to be, but it was the only place that I could figure out I could fit in. Because I always like to say, people in the arts, we like to fit out. Okay. And so when right. we find each other, we become family. And so yes. Toby not yes. only had the benefit of this new city, she created a full theater family, and she gave so many wings, you know, to fly after that experience. And so just like you, Carolyn, I get chills up my spine, and, you know, just thinking of how wonderful it was. And like you, Ray, I found Bonnie in the same way as well, because I lived across the street in apartments. And when okay. I moved to Columbia, I thought, oh my gosh, this is like paradise, because I'm across the street from a theatrical school on one side, the other barn where you could take dance and whatever there. And I just walked in cold and sort of had the same experience. Bonnie, you said it so well. I can see her long hair flying, her just, you know, flying and soaring all around the room. And I said, wow, I have arrived. So, yeah.
It was magic.
Yeah. And each of you have described that whole magical feeling. I'll use your word again, Ray. Just that, you know, we all found this connection. And how wonderful how it's just served us from that time on. So actually, Kevin, why don't you bring us into the present? Let's find out a little bit about what each of you were doing with that awesome experience.
Well, you know, that awesome experience, you know, really made, for me, created I worked in a lot of different areas of it. And it made me very flexible. And Carol, we talked about this the other day about, you know, a whole period of time where there were so many shows and we had to cover for each other. You want to talk about that, Carol?
Yeah, we were saying how the Young Columbians now, there's so many of them. And back when we were doing it, it was a much smaller cast. And so there was a lot of covering internally. Even if your body was there, if you had laryngitis and couldn't do your songs, you know, somebody else would have to do your songs, or if you had your voice but you sprained your ankle, then you know somebody was going to have to do Turkey in the Straw for you while you're right. on the box, right? So there was a lot of covering internally. And so for myself, when we got more into the actual book shows at Toby's Dinner Theater, Ray and I were talking about this the other day, the understudying for me came very naturally, and I never was afraid of it. And you know, if somebody called and said, can you go in tonight? It was like, well, you know, as long as you got a script there, because I have pretty good short-term memory then. Not right. As long as I can look at the lines before I have to dash on stage, I think I'll be fine. And right. so it was just that spontaneity and just being able to kind of be on the fly, I think has served us all pretty well since then.
I know. I went on for Tony with One Day's Notice in West Side Story because I had done the role before at the school. And, you know, Steve Blanchard, who was doing Tony at the time at the Dinner Theater, you know, he got his Broadway call.
Yeah. And
we had to figure out, I had to get hair and, you know.
Right? Yes.
That was a whole different thing. But, you know, the flexibility and the willingness to go on, I think that the answer to, or what I'm trying to say here is that whole process for us made us incredibly versatile humans in this day and age.
And performers.
I think for Young Columbians, what is one of the greatest skills you take away is that you are prepared for things that you cannot be prepared for.
Right.
Young Columbians, every performer learned every song, every dance, and
every
it wasn't
position
because
of the dance,
we were instructed to do that. There was an incredibly unique passion that each one of us brought in being there, doing what we love doing, and even heightened more because we were doing it together. And the skills that we learned and took away from it in my life, they helped me immensely in terms when I was on tour. One of the things when you're on a national tour, you move from theater to theater, and the no two spaces are exactly alike. Well, in the Young Columbians, we played a different stage sometimes two or three times a day, much less
absolutely.
How many times a week. So we were constantly adjusting this stage. Okay, we can only have six couples dancing, so everybody else off the side or sometimes
it's
off
true.
The stage and on the steps. You learn to be creative. You learn to be prepared. You learn to adapt and overcome. So for me, that applied whenever we switched to theater, it was nothing on me. I was ready because any space was viable because I was taught to be open to do that. The other way it helped me is the first time I went on as Jesus in the national tour of Jesus Christ Superstar, I did not have any rehearsals.
Yeah. But you knew the show.
I just went on, man. I just did the show.
Well, when you play the part of Jesus, you don't need any rehearsals, right?
Well, it's nice to think that, I think. No, but the same thing happened when I went on as Pilate. You know, I mean, it's just because we all inherently loved what we did so much, loved each other in how we did it together. We learned so much. I don't think we realized what we were learning. We just took away an immense skill set that I think, gratefully, we've been able to apply in different directions of our lives. But that experience all came from the same place.
Well, the that's young Colombian. Exactly.
No, that's all right, Don. I just wanted to interject this really quick, if I could. Let's see how quick I can make this. The thing that it was such a wonderful training ground, and I was just saying this to somebody yesterday, believe it or not. If you were new coming into the Young Colombian situation, if you were lucky, you got to see a show, and then you got slung into the show. We had, the America show had 9 chairs across the upstage area where you would set all your costumes, you know, vests that turned inside out, bustles that turned into a pterodactyl, that turned into a hat, that turned into, you know, platform shoes. It was amazing. And you would be in a freeze. You would be in a freeze with somebody that was brand new, and Lewis would be narrating, and you would go, oh, Curly, when you just start, you're gonna go up there, you're gonna turn your jacket, your vest inside out, roll down your pants, and you're gonna go over there and meet Carol Tiffin on stage. Left box. Yeah. And we were there, you know? And that's how you learn the show. Am I lying, guys?
No.
No.
100% right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you learned almost every show that you stepped into, you know, on the fly. You know?
We have dragged many a person across the stage to do YC shows.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But that all came from Toby's, you guys, because she would say, cover internally. She wouldn't tell us how to cover internally. Just do it. She has confidence in us. And so that kind of bred our own self-confidence because it was like, okay, we got to cover this. How do we do it? And I think that was by design a lot of the times. You know, if it was something huge, maybe we'd have a quick run through. But for the most part, she would be like, such and such is missing, cover internally. And it was like, okay. And then we'd have to put our heads together and do it, like Ray just said. So, yeah, I think it's the confidence in us that Toby had then became self-confidence. And it has served us all very well.
100%.
And we take it for granted. It's just something, it's just part of who we are, you know?
Right. So, you know, I was lucky enough. Interesting that Ray was talking about being a graphic designer. Well, I'm also a graphic designer. And,
yes, you are.
You know, he gave me an opportunity when Toby's opened to be the advertising manager. And, you know, I was doing that. And then I was doing inventory in the kitchen. And then I was building a settee for Evita.
Right.
You know, or not building it, but actually recovering it. So, you know, that whole thing made a difference for when I ended up coming to New York and even deciding not to, you know, be in the theater, but I ended up with graphic jobs right out of the gate and ultimately a 10-year stint at J. Crew being the print production director. Beautiful. And now I'm working in my town designing signs for a sign company. And I get to sing here and there. I sing with a 50-piece orchestra in the summers. I've been doing that for about 15 years. And I think my biggest joy is being able to have produced a cabaret act for myself with my wife and family a couple of years ago. And that was great for me, you know. So it's been a wide-ranging life. And it all it comes back to those times.
But I'd like to also hear from the others on exactly what they're doing today, too. Because Carolyn and I always like to talk about past, present, and future. So I don't know what you do in your spare time, Kevin. Geesh.
Like a full time?
I have a family too. Yeah.
Oh, of course, you do. So what about you, Carol? What do you do now in the present?
Well, right now I teach yoga and Pilates two different places, the Workhouse Arts Center in Lorton, which used to be the old Lorton prison, but now it's a historical site and an art center, and then Burke Racquet and Swim Club in Burke, Virginia. And I've taught there for 26 years now. And I've been at the Workhouse for 12 years. And so it has really served me very well because, you know, I'm still up in front of an audience and putting on a performance and hoping that the participants enjoy it.
I have to interject this. I'm sorry. See, I hate to interrupt you, but she did a performance of Wit a few years ago that absolutely blew everyone that had the opportunity to see it away. And whenever I think about it, I cry because that's just how amazing. I just had to say that. Continue, sweetie.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to jump in here.
That's all. I was done.
What about you, Ray? What are you presently doing?
Well, I'm going to try to keep this again short. Mm-hmm. On the day that I found out, we live in Frederick now, my husband and I. And I've been doing a lot of theater out here in the last 5 years. And when I finally chose to move into my husband's place, I had been wanting to do Driving Miss Daisy since I was 34. And at that point, I was like 58. And I went to a really nice friend of ours, a wonderful, talented friend that is artistic director at a theater in town. And she said, oh, yeah, I'd love to do it. And so Driving Miss Daisy was my first show. And I was in rehearsals to do Belize in Angels in America, the oldest Belize on record. And the night of our third anniversary, Ron and I went out to dinner. And then I went to rehearsal, and that's when we found out that our theater was closing because of the pandemic. And I not only had Belize in Angels in America, but the lead in the following show. So for the last 15 years after I returned home from Orlando, I have been choreographing and sometimes directing the annual musicals at Loyola Blakefield Prep School in Towson, Maryland. It's a little over an hour drive, depending on the traffic, but they pay me a lot of money. And it's really, really awesome because I get a chance to work with teenagers. And I really love working with teenagers because I was a teenager when I got started into all of this, you know? And they are so different now. And it took me a minute to understand why they're so different, because they're the new generation that they're supposed to be different, you know? And so now it's up to us at our, you know, we have been blessed to, you know, retain a certain amount of longevity. And now it's, you know, we have to pass the gauntlet. We have to pass the baton. And I just love working with them because what I see within them, especially when they get into the show, is that same camaraderie, that same, I wouldn't rather be no place else than this right now. Right. And when the closing performance comes and the tears, and they just fall apart because you have just had one of the most amazing experiences of your life. And Loyola Blakefield is, I call it Little Harvard Yale on the Hill. It's an Ivy League Jesuit school. Those young men, and it's an all-boys school, so those young men are being trained for greatness. And they step into the situation and they get to be a star or sing or dance. And then they move on to something else, but they keep that experience with them. For us, we have, no matter what we have, you know, peeled off to do, that, I don't even know what to call it, you guys. It's just amazing. When we did May Nobody Knows Larry, I remember we would do our curtain call and look in the wings and Carol Lee Hamm was crying again, you know?
I was there too. Yes.
You know, absolutely. And it was that one of the things that Toby made us understand was honesty. You know, I don't believe you. I yell that at my young people right now. They do their thing and I go, I don't believe you. You know, we take that honesty not only through our own lives, but everything that we share with everybody else. I mean, she has a career that helps people stay healthy. How wonderful is that, you know? And look at her, she's gorgeous. So, you know, I mean.
And Larry, you want to finish up with?
Sure. So I am still doing a little bit of performing. I am part of a 3-person Broadway series. I work with Gay Willis, who is an illustrious soprano with a wonderful Broadway career. I work with Mr. Prince Havely, who is an international performer. I think he's sang at the last six inaugurations, presidential inaugurations, and internationally. And at any rate, we have a Broadway series concert that we perform. So that's my performance thing. Professionally, I also am a teacher, as Ray is. I have a voice coaching practice that where I work with students, both young and mature, in trying to help them optimize and reach the potential that they have. But I also work, as to bring this full cycle, with the Young Columbians, with Toby. I also work with the Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts, and I am the co-artistic director for the Young Columbians, and I feel very privileged to continue to teach the show that I once got a chance to perform in. And, you know, it's a great legacy. Toby has passed so much on. I'm also awesome. Very proud. I have to mention my child is an alumni of the group as well.
Mm-hmm. And before we close, I want to publicly thank you guys for all you did for the AIDS benefits that started in 1988. You all performed there. And what I was thinking for the subject, as Judy likes to say, past, present, and future, let's do another show.
Let's have a show.
You know,
let's
Carolyn, what do Carolyn and Judy Garland have in common? Let's put on a show. Broadway.
Yes, we're doing it in the backyard.
Oh, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much, Kevin and Carol and Larry and Ray, and we love hearing your stories. And the truth is that you all have taken the gifts of the arts that were instilled in you at Toby's and have moved them into your life, and they serve you well, and you love what you do, and we do what we love, and that's what we love about the arts, and that's why we promote it here. And then you have Carolyn and I, and we promote. So, right, Carolyn? We yep. promote the arts, we love them, and thank you so much. It has been an absolute blast being with all of you. So on Razzle Dazzle Radio, until next time, I'm going to say thanks for the memories.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.